Welcome to Detroit Lions News Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Chapp, and today we're going to be talking about the Detroit Lions versus the Atlanta Falcons because, last week was a very tough week for the Lions fans. They were a little bit pissed off. They were a little bit upset about the game. This week, they turn a leaf over. We go to the Detroit Lions versus the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday, tomorrow. And it'll be a great game for the Detroit Lions. Now, first, I want to thank my sponsors of the podcast, the DLN podcast. We have The Den, which is the hometown tailgates. If you're going to go out tomorrow and you're going to go tailgate with them. And then Three Kings Cards and Collectibles in Canton, Michigan. If you're a card collector, that's where you want to go. Let's get started because there's a lot to get to with these two teams. So let's start with the injury report. Emmanuel Mosley is out. Taylor Decker is out. Kirby Joseph is out. Hal Vitae is out. Dave Montgomery, doubtful. Josh Reynolds, questionable. Amon-Ra St. Brown, questionable for the Lions. That's a long injury sheet. You can't believe it, but that's the injury sheet that we are given for this week's game with the Atlanta Falcons. On the Atlanta Falcons side, moderately healthy. Look at Jeff Okuda, questionable. Cordero Patterson, questionable with the thigh injury that he's been dealing with for a couple weeks. So that is interesting. This game, altogether, when you take it into equation, yes, the Detroit Lions are very, very banged up. They are very, very injured. It's a tough way to go out, but the Detroit Lions are going to have to grind this thing out in the meantime because, look, when you are that injured, look at the injury report. I just showed it to you before, but look, it's such a big injury report. You are just dealing with injuries everywhere. But when I say that there is things to look forward to and things that I absolutely love about this Detroit Lions matchup, let's go to the stats that matter. So the Lions are 10th in the league in rush defense. Now, there's a small sample size, but they went against some good running backs, some good quarterbacks that can go outside the pocket. The Falcons 22nd in the league in rush defense. They give up 119 yards per game. The stat that really does matter is the Detroit Lions are -3 in turnovers, while the Atlanta Falcons are +2 in turnovers, and that is why the Atlanta Falcons are winning the game that they are winning. Now, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with some of the guys. Now, I'm reading some comments right now about from Dixie Normus. Is Josh Reynolds going to play? He might play. He's questionable. I think he's going to play, so that'll be good for them. Trucker Matsy, who is he's a stupid Vikings fan, he says an easy win for the Falcons. I don't think so. Now, look, we're going to go into the next stat that is going to be key. We're going to go into this is what do you make of this? So the Lions have 34 pressures in the NFL. That's fifth best in the NFL. They have the worst sack percentage. Now, when you look at this stat in particular with 34 pressures, the worst sack percentage in the NFL, what do you make of it? What do you make of it? And with me, I make of it two things. Number one, they're getting home at the quarterback. They're just not finishing. And part of the reason that they're not finishing is because when you look at the quarterbacks that they played, Patrick Mahomes, a magician in the pocket, a magician in the backfield who can make things happen. Then you got Geno Smith, a guy who is very sneaky, one of the best quarterbacks in the pocket in the NFL. I think that a lot of people they kind of gloss over Geno Smith for his early in the career type stuff. But right now, Geno Smith is doing a really damn good job at evading contact in the pocket. He did it last year with Seattle. It's going to be interesting to see what he could do moving forward because that team in Seattle is very, very – they are very talented at every step of the imagination. Let's go to the keys to this game. So the keys to this game is pretty simple. You got to force Desmond Ridder to pass. Limit the ground game because they do have a really good ground game. They are a very, very good team. And finish the pressure. You know, one of the reasons that the Detroit Lions have not been able to get a sack, well, they got a one sack against it with Alex Anzalone, but for the most part, they have struggled to get a sack is because they haven't finished the pressure. They haven't got home. I mean, they got home, but they haven't finished that sack. So that's something you want to look at. Now, I'm going to give you this stat from Desmond Ridder. Desmond Ridder is beatable. Aggressiveness percentage by next gen stats, 6%. That's the third lowest in the NFL. He is making his third start on the road for the Atlanta Falcons this weekend. And he's 50th in passes attempted. He doesn't like to throw the ball. They don't like to throw the ball at Atlanta. So the one way that they're going to beat you is they are going to beat you running the ball. They're going to beat you running the ball. That's why I go to the three threats. Top threats for Atlanta. Bijan is their top threat. Kyle Pitts is their second top threat. Drake London is their third top threat on the offense. And then defensively, it's a very, very good defense. You got Jesse Bates, the safety. You got A.J. Terrell, the corner. And Grady Jarrett, the defensive tackle, the defensive lineman. He's a very, very good disruptor. I look at this team, I look at the Detroit Lions, and I look at the Atlanta Falcons. Yes, the Atlanta Falcons have all of the they're healthy. They have the better team right now because they're more healthy. But look, they're beatable. You have to stop the Atlanta Falcons on the ground. If you stop the Atlanta Falcons from running the ball and you force Desmond Ridder to throw, I don't think he's capable enough. Now, the one thing about Desmond Ridder that people gloss over with Desmond Ridder is they go, well, he's a good quarterback. He's leading a team on with the 2-0 record. Look who they played. They played the Carolina Panthers, starting a rookie quarterback. They have played the Green Bay Packers, who just gifted them the game on last Sunday. It's a very interesting dynamic because if you think about it, if this was any other team, you wouldn't be very, very perplexed. You wouldn't be worried. And I think a lot of people are worried about the game with Atlanta because they're going, oh, my God, we lost against Seattle. Well, Seattle is a damn good football team, and they have a damn talented team. You look at that Seattle team, like, there are a lot of players on that team that could start everywhere. And I think that Seattle has one of the most talented teams in the league, in my opinion, because on offense and defense, especially with Bobby Wagner coming back to the Seattle Seahawks, it's been a very, very good time for Seattle Seahawks. Now let's get to the matchups. This is what we get to. Lions linebackers against Kyle Pitts, because we know the Lions struggled against the tight ends last week. It's going to be very interesting if they can kind of get it together. Now, if you're watching, you can comment below and we can talk about the whole game. Your opinions, you can just profess live. We're doing it live. So Lions linebackers with Kyle Pitts, that's a huge matchup because the Kyle Pitts is obviously a tight end, and the Lions have not done good against tight ends. Lions front seven versus Bijan Robinson, that's another one. Obviously, you look at Bijan Robinson, he's ran rough and run shot, but the Detroit Lions defensive line has done good against the rush. The Detroit wide receivers, my third one is the Detroit wide receivers versus the Atlanta secondary, because the Atlanta secondary is criminally underrated. Aside from Jeff Okuda, Jesse Bates, A.J. Terrell, that is a pretty damn good group of players. And then you got the Lions defensive line versus the Atlanta offensive line. I think people are going to love the way that the defensive line for the Lions can get pressure. The Atlanta offensive line is really good. They're very, very good. So if you are a team that is looking at it from the standpoint of, what does the Detroit Lions have to do to get pressure on the Atlanta Falcons? They just have to do what they've been doing. They have been a good, team, and they've been good defensively. They've got pressure on the quarterback, but that's what's going on right now. We got some comments. We got some comments from No Days Off Game Time. Jack Campbell needs to play more when Pitts is on the field. Absolutely. You know what? I think a lot of people have been saying this. I think a lot of people have been upset about the fact that I think the Lions coaches have really outcoached themselves, to be honest. Because you have Jahmyr Gibbs, who you have not used up to his level that he has been able to be used at. And you haven't used Jack Campbell to the level that he's been able to be used at. You put in Blaine Alexanzalone. I know Alexanzalone is a total, veteran, a guy that can help you out. He's a good tackler. But ultimately, Jack Campbell is a future. And Jack Campbell, when he's out there, is doing a pretty damn good job out there and making the plays that is necessary to win. And he should be on Kyle Pitts. But if I'm honestly asking myself, you're going to put Kyle Pitts on a safety. So Brian Branch, you're going to put him on Tracy Walker. Kirby Joseph is out. Maybe you put him on Mel Fonwu. This is the issue right now because you have injuries to that linebacker core. I mean, that safety core. So you're gonna have to make things happen as they go. What defensive adjustments? This is from Mayank, who is one of the admins for the Detroit Lions news page. And so he goes, what defensive adjustments do you see the defensive line making to get pressure and not just this game in general. Like I said before, I think that this Detroit Lions defense is criminally, they are getting pressure. They are 34 pressures, fifth best in the NFL. That's fifth best in the NFL. But they have the worst sack percentage. Now you're asking me, why do they have the worst sack percentage in the NFL? Why can't they get home? Why can't they get Geno Smith and Patrick Mahomes down? Patrick Mahomes is a magician. Patrick Mahomes will make things happen with his feet. He doesn't get sacked that much. And then you have, on the other side, Geno Smith. Geno Smith might be one of the better quarterbacks in the league at evading contact in the pocket. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Geno Smith does a really damn good job. I know people want to look back at Geno Smith and go, it's just Geno Smith. But when you watch him play, like I watched the film a couple days ago, one thing that he did really well was there was a time where Hutch was bearing down on him and Charles Harris is bearing down on him. And what he did in that moment was he said, okay, I'm going to step up in the pocket. I'm going to go a little bit towards the center. I'm going to throw it diagonally to my wide receiver who is just out of the crosshairs, and I'm gonna assume he's gonna be there, and he was. So I think a lot of people need to get is when you get these, I feel like people are totally discounting the offenses that you have played. You played the Kansas City Chiefs, who are a very, very good offense. You played the Seattle Seahawks, who are a very good offense. And I would contend that these two offenses that you played are probably gonna be top 10 offenses going forward in the NFL season, because I like Geno Smith. I like him as a quarterback. I think he's done a really damn good job with Pete Carroll and Shane Waldron in Seattle. And to be honest, this team that you're playing this week, the Atlanta Falcons, they can't do the same things that the Seattle Seahawks have been able to do. You know, the Seattle Seahawks, they can break you in two ways. They can run the ball, or they can pass the ball and get in. They have legitimate deep threats. Now, I know people love Drake London. I know people love Kyle Pitts. I know people love Bijan Robinson. But if you were to ask me right now that the Detroit Lions could play, obviously with Seattle, last week they had to account for DK Metcalf. They had to account for Tyler Lockett. They had to account for this guy. They had to account for this guy. Here with the Atlanta Falcons, you have to account for one guy, and well, two guys, but they're in the backfield together. It's Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier. Now, I know people love Drake London. I know people love Drake London, but the reality of the situation is Drake London, he's not up to the snuff that you would think that most players would be up to the snuff at, and I that's just my opinion. So last week you played one of the best, more talented offensive teams in the league, in my opinion, because they can beat you two ways. They can beat you with the deep threat. They can beat you with the run game, because K9 and Zach Charbonnet are pretty damn good players. So you have to just like what you're doing with those guys. Now, it'll be interesting to see what happens Sunday, but let's get to some of the comments. No days off game time. He says, what do you think we need to do to stop these big chunk plays? Now, this is something very, very interesting that I really did want to get into, and I'm glad that No Days Off Game Time brought this up. I think what part of the problem is with the Detroit Lions, and I'm going to be totally concise with you. The Detroit Lions' problem is not their defense. I think it's the more the way they are aligning in the process. Now, when you see, here's the thing. Jerry Jacobs, okay? I'm going to give you this stat from earlier. This is the quarterback rating against from last year. Jerry Jacobs was at 70%. Part of the reason this team did such a great job at this is completion percentage. Look at 53.2%, 32 out of 60. He did a pretty damn good job at eliminating, you know, the completions. Jerry Jacobs had a bad game against Seattle. And part of the reason I think that they gave up all these yards is because I think that they're playing off the ball. I think they're not getting to the putting heads on the hat. You know, we talk about getting heads to the hat, you know, getting heads of the ball. This is what we're talking about. You know, you get to the ball, you have to make some plays, you do some things. Don't allow the Seattle Seahawks or the Atlanta Falcons to get a little bit of room to run, because when you allow them to get room to run, you put yourself in a bad situation to get burnt. And that's what the Detroit Lions have been able, they've been doing. The first game, I thought they did a pretty damn good job. I thought they eliminated, you know, these big deep shot threats. Obviously, Travis Kelce was out, but they still have Patrick Mahomes at the quarterback, and he's going to do a damn good job. With last week, I thought Seattle did a pretty damn good job of They did crisscross routes over the middle. They had a guy that would go deep, and then they had their tight ends. And I think that they did a really good job at confusing Aaron Glenn. I think Aaron Glenn got absolutely outcoached. Now it's going to be absolutely paramount that that they make the right decisions, coaching decisions this week, because there's only one way to lose to Atlanta. There's literally only one way to lose to Atlanta. You lose to Atlanta by not stopping the run. That's how you lose to Atlanta. You know, this is no Seattle. This is no Kansas City. There is no Patrick Mahomes back there. There is no Geno Smith out there. And there is no Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf on the side. So this is one of the more interesting games for the Detroit Lions, because you have been able to get pressure. I know Desmond Ridder is a guy who can take off at times, but he is not no Geno Smith, and he is not no Patrick Mahomes. Let's go back to what I was saying about earlier. Desmond Ridder is beatable. He's totally beatable. His aggressiveness, if you watch his tape, he is not a guy that's going to make a throw downfield. He very rarely makes throws over the middle. His aggressive percentage is 6%. That's the third lowest in the NFL. He's attempted 50 passes on the whole season. And he's making his third career start on the road. He's coming to a Hornets nest in Detroit. He is coming into a place in Detroit where most of the time he has struggled. He struggled on the road. I think his completion percentage on the road is like 56.5%. When you start your games on the road, I mean, you start your games at home, it builds up a little bit of confidence. But when you go to a place like Detroit, when you go to a place like the Dog Pound or Baltimore, there's certain places on the NFL docket where you go there and you are expecting it to be totally loud, totally, you're going to have trouble hearing yourself, and it's going to create communication problems. And I'm interested to see what Desmond Ridder does, because historically with Desmond Ridder, he will not be the most accurate quarterback on the road. Well, turnovers too. Yeah, they need to stop turning over the ball. Look, so this is Viking fan Matt. See, so let's look at let's go back to stats that matter. Where is these damn things? Atlanta is +2 in turnovers. Detroit is -3 in turnovers. You want to know the reason that you lost the game against Seattle? It's very, very clear. It's very, very clear. You turn over the ball, you give a team like Seattle more opportunities to score, you are going to lose that game 9 times out of 10. When you throw a pick six, when you get a fumble, and that is 14 points right there, you are not going to win a lot of football games if you continue to turn over the ball. And like I said, Atlanta does take care of the ball. Desmond Ridder does take care of the ball. This is a team that can take care of the ball. Now, you're going to have to take care of the ball against Atlanta, because they do have some guys that can hurt you. Let's go to the threats that can hurt you. Watch these three. Jesse Bates, the safety from Cincinnati. I have no idea why Cincinnati never paid this guy. They should have paid Jesse Bates. They should have, and he's been absolutely great. Now, the one thing about Jesse Bates that you must know, he will bait quarterbacks into throwing interceptions. Now, the first game, he's played Bryce Young. The second game, he played Jordan Love. So those two quarterbacks have had a little bit of – they're getting acclimated to the whole NFL process. They barely have started any games. Well, Jordan Love, I think this was like – that was a third start in the NFL. So going on the road to Atlanta, playing Jesse Bates, not the easiest thing that you could do. It's just Jesse Bates is a very good thing. But I think this team, this Atlanta team, they played some quarterbacks that are less than stellar. I think Jordan Love is probably the best of the quarterbacks. I mean, Bryce Young is a rookie. I mean, making his first game on the road. That was a tough game for anyone. AJ Terrell, the cornerback from Atlanta, he's a very, very good cornerback. Top five cornerback, in my opinion. He's going to shut down one side of the field. He's a very good cornerback and make all the plays. Make all the pass breakups. He's one of the best. Coming out of Clemson, I loved him, and he has showed that he is a very, very good player. The third player is Bijan Robinson. Now, Bijan Robinson is a rookie, but every time you watch him, he can make something out of nothing, and it's great to watch, because I think Boomer Esiason on Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti, he said that Bijan reminds him of Barry Sanders. Can you believe it? But the way Bijan Robinson runs, the way Bijan Robinson can cut upfield, the way Bijan Robinson can reverse upfield, this is a good test for the Detroit Lions defensive run game, because if they can hold Bijan Robinson down, it will show that they are a pretty damn good team. Now, they did it with Saquon Barkley last year. With Saquon Barkley, he had a pretty rough game with the New York Giants, but I think this team with the Atlanta Falcons has a better offensive line. Derek Hunter, he says, we need this win because Green Bay lost them. That will give us an edge towards the end of the season. And you know what? You're right. This will give the Lions an edge towards the rest of the season. They do need to win. You know, we talk about this grit thing all the time. We talk about, you know, how Dan Campbell, he preaches the grit thing. Grit, grind it out, be tough, be hardworking. You're not healthy right now. The Detroit Lions are not healthy right now, and they're going to go through two games where they're going to play in less than 5 days, and it's going to be an absolute gong slot. So the game at home against Atlanta, you need to win, because if I'm going to be totally honest with you, if you win this game and you lose to Green Bay, I think it's a total wash, and it's fine. Now, if you lose both of them, you're in a little bit of trouble, and now you're trying to make up ground going towards the end of the season. So it's interesting. There's a lot of things that could happen with this Detroit Lions team moving forward, and I'm very interested to see what they could do. Now, I think we got to get to some more of our slides. Now, what are we going to get to? We have the three threats. Okay. So I want to go back to this because I think a lot of people missed this at the beginning. What do you make of this set? The 34 pressures, fifth best in the NFL, the worst sack percent. So when I went back and I watched the games, I went back and watched the Seattle game. I went back and watched the Kansas City game on the all 22. And the one thing that came away from me was Patrick Mahomes did a pretty damn good job at evading the quarterback pressures. He did a pretty damn good job. And when he knew that it was totally over and he was about to get sacked, he got rid of the ball. And that one time he got rid of the ball was Kadarius Toney, was that tipped interception and went to Brian Branch for the pick six. That's what some of your pressures have been able to do. Now the Lions haven't capitalized. And I think that a lot of people, you know, when you talk about sacking a quarterback, here's where it's going to go. This is where people kind of miss the whole thing about this is a team game. This is still a team game. If you're pressuring the quarterback, but your cornerbacks aren't holding the pressure, and they're not holding the pressure on the wide receivers, you're going to give up a lot of passes. So with what I've seen with the Seattle game in terms of the defense and how they played, they were playing back. They weren't playing press. They weren't playing tough on the wide receiver. I think that really cost them. I think that really cost them the game. I think that what you were doing was you were giving the Seattle Seahawks a lot of room to pass the ball. They make these quick short passes, and then that's going to nullify your pass rush game. So anybody who's talking about the pass rush, think about it like this. Geno Smith had 15 times I could count when I was watching the all 22 where he was going back to pass. He finds a guy and it's a short route. Boom. And the pass rusher is null and void because the cornerbacks were playing 13 yards behind the line of scrimmage. If you're playing behind the line of scrimmage, if you're not coming up and you're not pressing DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, you're going to give a lot of passes underneath. So that's what you got to look at when you talk about pressures. And that's Patrick Mahomes does the same thing. He gets the ball out in time. He gets the ball out in before he gets pressured. So that's what you look at with the Detroit with that game last week and with the Kansas City game. I just look at it like this. Look at the teams that you played. Look at the teams you played. Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, do I say more? And Geno Smith, who is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL at evading the rush in the pocket. He's one of the best. I watching him on the All-22 film, I was so flabbergasted at the way that he would maneuver in the pocket. He's probably one of the best I've seen in a long time, the way he maneuvers in the pocket. He's very agile, and he finds ways to throw in the throwing lanes, and that's very impressive. It was very impressive. I thought there was a couple times where he should have been sacked, and he just got away, and that's pretty interesting from my standpoint because I have not seen a guy do that pretty good. I know it's over, but no, but why did James Houston on special teams if he's one of the best pass rushers? Aiden Hutchinson is not on special teams. So I think people are – obviously you're going to look at it and you're going to go, why is James Houston on special teams? Well, you know, James Houston's on special teams just like some of your players are. James Houston was on special teams because he is a defensive guy, and he was on special teams because that's what the – Lions really want. I mean, you're gonna need people for special teams. And the fact that James Houston did get hurt on a kickoff, that sucks. That's the way it is. But there is a lot of guys that play on that are huge pieces to the team that play on special teams. So you just got to get to go. Michael said on the Facebook Live, he said all Geno had to do is run forward. We had no rush up the middle. You know, that was part of the problem too. You know, when you talk about Geno Smith avoiding the pressure from what he was getting, you know, I think they had 8 pressures last week or something along those lines. The defensive tackles didn't do a pretty good job. And I think one of the players I'm going to highlight in particular is Benito Jones. Now, Benito Jones did not do a good job. I look at it this week. I think you're going to get Isaiah Bugs back there. I think Isaiah Bugs can be he's more of a guy that could take up space on the defensive line. So it'll be interesting to see what they can do on the interior defensive line pass rush, because I think that's part of the problem. You know, when you're rushing the passer and you could step up in the pocket and make the throw, the pass rushers you got on the outside, it's not going to really matter if you could step up in the inside and just throw dart. So that's a good comment by Michael on that, because that is definitely an issue with this team. And hopefully when you guys have Bugs in here, you'll be able to kind of push together a better pass rush up the middle. So Derek says, awesome. I'm sorry. I love the coach, but he needs to make better decisions on fourth down. He says, and then Derek said, we need to get to Ritter. If you can do that, we can force turnover. So I'm going to hit on number one, Derek, with this. We need to get to Ritter. Absolutely, you need to get to Ritter. But here's the thing about Ritter. He doesn't take chances. He's not aggressive at all. And that you can really get to him, he's not going to take chances. So this is a kid's third start on the road. So if you're looking at something kind of like, yeah, this can rattle him, this is probably the spot that can rattle him. And on your second point about coach, he needs to make better decisions on fourth down. This is like the ultimate conundrum, right? Because Dan Campbell goes for it on fourth down in Kansas City. That's probably what spawned you to get the win in Kansas City. But also, when he doesn't take the points on that field goal. Now, I did their math, and there was a part in that game last week where it was a point differential plus one. So they scored a touchdown and field goal on one, and then they missed the field goal. So it was still plus one on the fourth down differential. So I look at it as totally analytical from that standpoint. If you're plus one, that's a pretty damn good job. Obviously, you would want to be plus three, plus four, plus five. But they weren't negative. So that was one of the things I took out of it in the plus differential of the decision that he made. He got a touchdown. He got a field goal. So I think people really need to take that into equation when he goes on a fourth down. Don't give the ball to Gibbs just to do it. He be creative in time and space. You know what, Steve? That's a good point, because you know what? This is a Ben Johnson. This is an Aaron Glenn type game. I think that Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn have not coached their best football in the first two games at all. I think that there's been a lot left to desire on both sides of the ball. I think that offensively, there's been not much creativity. I think on defensive side of the ball, I think that you could look at a lot of things on the defensive side of the ball that have not been great game plans. So what I'm looking at I'm looking at Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson to have a better game passing the ball, better game at just game planning it out and making sure that they can get that thing. And on your second comment, for love of sun God, don't pound Gibbs between the tackles. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to say this with all due certainty. Jahmyr Gibbs can be pounded up inside the tackles. I don't know where this moniker is coming from. I don't know where the moniker is coming from. If you watch him at Georgia Tech, he can go up the middle. He can make plays up the middle. He can run up the middle. No problem, no problem, no problem. He did it at Alabama. He's a creative runner. He can do it. He can do it all. There's a reason that the Detroit Lions chose him over Bijan Robinson when they traded back, because they said they would take Jahmyr Gibbs at 6, and Jahmyr Gibbs can run up the middle. There's no doubt about it. He is absolutely a guy that can run up the middle. If you didn't watch Georgia Tech, they ran him up the middle all the time, and he was the nation's leading rusher that year that Kenneth Walker went crazy And he was a leading rusher for a couple games. So it's interesting. Derek, back on, he says, I love the aggressiveness, but not why not keep some of that aggressiveness to win a game? You know, that was part of the reason that I didn't like what he did. I didn't like the whole plan at the end. But when I went back and I watched the tape and I said, okay, I went in there with a non-emotional state. And I was like, look, what did they do in that fourth quarter? And I remember they threw a pass to St. Brown. Matt Nelson missed a block and Goff was about to get sacked. He threw it at the feet at St. Brown. I think it had to do with time, the downs that they were going to have compared to they didn't have the downs that they were expected to have. I think that's what you look at. So it's very, very interesting from that standpoint. You know, I think when Campbell was talking about, you know, he was talking about that they're running it like the second half, going into the second half. I think that was the wrong choice of words, but ultimately, if I think there was more, they were running out of downs, not time. I think that was the issue. So that was why I think that Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson, they ran the plays that they ran. And it sucks because overtime, if you lose the coin flip, you don't get the ball. And that sucks. But that's what you deal with on this team. So I'm going to say this right now. I think a lot of people, Derek Hunter says we knew our defense couldn't hold them. All right. I think the defense could have held them. I think the defense did a pretty damn good job all day long. They were getting pressure. There was no sign or reason why they couldn't hold them. I think part of the problem was with this Lions team last week was I think when you went into overtime, I think this Aaron Glenn changed the way he was doing defense. I think if he would have stayed with the defense that he was doing over the course of the whole game where they were playing back on the press, they're not playing press, and they were playing back, I think that could have won them some games. I think that could have won them the game. That's my opinion. But Aaron Glenn got out-coached last game. And this is a game where Aaron Glenn is going to go against Arthur Smith. And Arthur Smith is a pretty damn good coach. So if you are a defensive fan, this is going to be huge for Aaron Glenn because he has to not get out-coached again because he's been out-coached. I thought the Kansas City game, he did a pretty damn good job of keeping Mahomes hemmed in the pocket. Second game, I thought he did a pretty damn good job. I thought the defense did a pretty damn good job of not allowing Kenneth Walker to reverse upfield multiple times because one of the things that Kenneth Walker will do, the way that he will beat you is when he reverses upfield and he gets that when you get over, you over-contain, you don't contain the outside, he'll beat you 95% of the time. We've seen that at Michigan State. And if you're a Michigan fan, you've seen that in the Michigan game with Michigan State because that's what Kenneth Walker does. So I didn't feel like the defense could have – I think the defense could have done a better job, but ultimately they didn't, and that's part of the problem. And that's why you're at the issue that you are at with that way. So let's go back to my keys. This is my keys for the Lions win. I think the keys for the Lions to win is force Ridder to pass. Limit the ground game and finish the pressure that, you know, you're getting pressure on the quarterback. You're doing a pretty damn good job of getting pressure to the quarterback. It's just finishing the pressure. So here's the thing. There's a lot to look forward to tomorrow. Obviously, I think the Detroit Lions could do a pretty damn good job if they can continue to be pressuring the quarterback, get pressure on Desmond Ridder. I don't think Desmond Ridder is a quarterback that's going to beat you with his mobility in the pocket. And I don't think Desmond Ridder could get out. Well, Desmond Ridder is a mobile quarterback. But if you play the way you've been playing with the linebackers that they've been playing, you could do a pretty damn good job. So I'm not really worried about that. Comment again. That's from Michael. Goff needs to make more deep throws to unsettle defense. I saw Mahomes average one throw per four downs, too many short yardage situations. You know what? It's funny, Michael. is the funny part about that. A lot of people talk about Jared Goff, how he's not throwing downfield. That is false. He is one of the leaders in air yards attempted through the first two games. So that is something that people just don't understand. And if you look at the next gen stats, he's fourth, third, something along those lines. But he's been doing a pretty damn good job with the way that he's been doing. So I think that they've attempted the deep passes. The problem is you don't have a deep threat on this team. And Goff has been solid. I agree. I totally agree with you on that standpoint. And it's going to be interesting to see what tomorrow. So tomorrow, I look for the Detroit Lions to win. I look for them to stop Bijan Robinson. I think that they're going to win tomorrow. I think it's going to be like a 27-24 game. I think that, you know, the way that Detroit's been playing, you look at the way that they've been playing with Kansas City and Seattle. I think Seattle and Kansas City are two of the best teams in the NFL in terms of talent. And I think when we played Kansas City, we got lucky that Chris Jones and Travis Kelce went onto the field, but you still beat them. So there's no asterisks. Because if you look at this game, this could potentially be an asterisk for the Detroit Lions. Because look at all these injuries. Emmanuel Mosley out. Taylor Decker. Kirby Joseph. Hell Vitae. Montgomery's doubtful. These guys will play. The last two guys will play. But it's going to be interesting. This is a game that you're going to have to grind it out. And, you know, for everything that Dan Campbell talks about with being hard-nosed, being grit, you know, having grit, grinding it out, all heart, all us, that's the type of stuff. You're going to find it out really quickly tomorrow when the Detroit Lions play the Atlanta Falcons. And I think that if we're being honest with each other, this is a game that the Detroit Lions need to have, because when you look at the fact of the matter is they're going to play four games. I mean, they're going to play two games in a five-day stretch. So they're going to play on Sunday, and then Thursday they're going to turn right around and play in Green Bay. So there's no – anybody that's questionable at that time, you're going to have some big-time issues. Is Okuda playing tomorrow? He's questionable, so I think he will play. So that'll be interesting. Okuda's going to be playing tomorrow. So that's always interesting, too, because that's a dynamic that we didn't think we would be talking about. But it's been a great Detroit Lions News podcast. If you didn't get to watch the whole episode, we will see you guys on the next podcast. Obviously, I did this alone for today because we were doing – Tyler has a wedding, and I had to get this out here, and we had a lot of lives that were going out on Saturday, so that was pretty strange. But you can go and subscribe to our podcast, the Detroit Lions News Podcast. This will be podcasted. If you didn't see the full episode, this will also be on the Facebook for you to watch. So we will see you guys in the next episode. We will see you after the game. We will be doing a post-game kind of show with Walter and some of the guys, and we'll see you guys in that show. But also, I'm gonna give a shout out to our sponsors, the Den Detroit. If you're going to downtown for the game tomorrow, consider going to the Den. I post them on my page all the time. They're really good, and they have a really good menu. So go check them out. And if you're a sports card collector, go to Three Kings Sports Cards and Collectibles in Canton, Michigan, across from the airport. And you'll get all the cards that you can get on. So we will see you guys in the next episode on Sunday. I had to go live, and I thank you guys for watching, because you guys are always great to me. And we will see you guys in the next episode of the Detroit Lions News Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Chep, and I will see my way out. And whoa, Michigan is tied with Rutgers right now. What the hell is going on? But I will see you guys in the next episode.